Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. It is Tuesday, the 22nd of April. Good morning. You're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with a panel of invited guests where we discuss the issues of the day with you for the next hours. Quite a few bits and pieces I think we're going to be discussing today. Obviously, the passing of Pope Francis was announced yesterday. Looking at where the papacy goes now, does it have any relevance? Do you think it has any relevance in a modern world? Do you think that the Catholic Church should be getting involved in world issues? Is it perhaps providing a moral rock on which to base ourselves in an ever uncertain world amongst those? Also, be looking at the, since we last met, looking at the perhaps the decision of the Supreme Court in the UK to define a woman as the woman definition of a woman, which is from her biological identity at birth. What a time to be alive. That is in the poll today on the Facebook page at Talk Radio Europe Official. You can get have your say on that poll. You have yes, no, and don't know if you want to get involved with the show that way. And obviously there have been a few bits and pieces happening in the States, including the markets tumbling again and the ongoing El Salvador situation with over 200 undesirables, as the White House would say, being transported to a super jail, a mega jail in El Salvador, because they were very bad people, gang leaders, leaving at least one of those who was picked up as apparently wasn't a gang member, allegedly, and he's now stuck in legal limbo, plus whatever else is crossing your radar. If you want to get involved with the show, and why wouldn't you, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
First of all, we're going to look at the what the papers are saying this morning. Checking out the papers. Let me just do this first, however.
Great savings on all Nesson products at Mi Colchón. Up to 24 months interest-free. No hidden fees. Proud sponsors of the international news headlines on TRE. Mi Colchón, for a great night's sleep.
Thanks to Mi Colchón. Looking at the front pages then, the news of the Pope's death dominates the front pages. The People's Pope is the main headline for the Daily Star, the Daily Mirror, and the I paper, which hail Francis as a charismatic champion of the poor. The Times describes him as an outsider whose mission was to change the Catholic Church. A modernizing pontiff in an era of populism and polarization. They couldn't get enough peas in there, could they, in the Financial Times? While The Guardian describes him as a groundbreaking and praises his advocacy, particularly in the fight in the fight against climate change. One last Easter blessing and his work was done, is the Daily Telegraph's poignant headline, in reference to Pope Francis taking part in the Easter services less than 24 hours before his death. Metro takes a similar line, describing the Pope as serving to the very last, alongside a picture of him touching the hand of a young girl during his final tour of St. Peter's Square. The Daily Express focuses on British reaction, with tributes from the King and Queen, and an appreciation by the Archbishop of York, Stephen Cottrell. He says Pope Francis' legacy will continue to shape the world for years to come. The Sun and the Daily Mail say that the world is united in mourning, with the latter describing the Pope's death as a pivotal moment, with a battle to shape the future direction of the Catholic Church now beginning. The Mirror says it is imperative his legacy is built upon and not undone. Meanwhile, Trump Lee's drive to wean Americans off their fixation with paper checks is a front page headline for the Financial Times, which highlights attempts by Donald Trump's administration to get more U.S. consumers to switch to electronic payment systems. It reports that despite plunging use elsewhere in the world, check payments remain commonplace in the U.S. And pretty much every paper is carrying the story of wild chimpanzees in Guinea-Bissau, I think that's how you say it, who've been observed in sharing and enjoying fermented alcoholic fruits together. As The Guardian put it, not in quantities to get roaring drunk, but possibly enough for a fuzzy beer buzz feeling. Scientists for the University of Exeter, who conducted the study, say the animal's behaviour suggests alcohol may have benefits for social bonding in chimps, as it does for humans. Yes, indeed, bringing a new meaning to the term CA, Chimpanzees Anonymous. So, those front pages from the top today. The Guardian, groundbreaking head of Catholic Church, Pope Francis, dies at 88. Daily Express, he touched the lives of so many. The Times, outsider with a mission to change the Catholic Church. The Daily Star, the People's Pope. The Eye, the People's Pope. The Daily Mail, passing of Pope Francis. He's returned to the house of the Father. The Daily Mirror, he fought all his life for the poor and forgotten. He was the People's Pope. The Metro, the final blessing. The Sun, truly blessed. The Financial Times has a photograph of Pope Francis, but also Beijing warns of retaliation against nations doing US deals. The Daily Telegraph, one last Easter blessing and his work was done, but also Trump ignites fresh market chaos. And those, for better or worse, are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 22nd of April.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm joined, very much joined in the studio today by, to my left, the eminent Tim Stafford. Morning, Tim.
Good morning, Giles. Funny enough, I saw some chimpanzees on the Paseo in Marbella drinking gin teas the other day.
You really need to double the dosage or cut it out altogether, you know that, don't you? Yes. You saw some... Hang on. What do you mean you saw some chimpanzees drinking G&Ts? Well, it scans quite well, though. Yes, fermented fruit drinks. I mean, that's what you call in a slow news day, isn't it? When you know, the papers are carrying half cut primates on the front cover of our pages.
Yes, death of the Pope, alcoholic primates.
Indeed, fine, they're not linked. And some semblance of normality. Dr. Jerry Hagen, morning to you, Jerry.
Good morning, Charles. Do you know that story about the chimpanzees? That's not news. There are different alcohols, all toxic to human, apart from one alcohol, ethyl alcohol. Right. And thanks to our cousins, primates in evolutionary history, they developed an enzyme so that alcohol wasn't... ethyl alcohol wasn't poisonous to us, and that's how we can drink because of our ancestors.
Run that one by me again.
Okay. Okay, well, say again.
Okay. There are different alcohols.
Yes.
All of them toxic to humans, except for one, ethyl alcohol. How did we get to be able to drink ethyl alcohol? Well, our ancient our ancient evolutionary ancestors, because they ate rotten fruit,
right,
it turned to alcohol, and so they developed an enzyme that would break that alcohol down and not kill them. And that's why we have inherited the ability to drink ethyl alcohol.
You see,
see chimpanzees on San Pedro Beach,
right,
drinking G&Ts.
Yes, yes.
Quite right.
You see, there you go. There. So it's all the primates' fault, then, is it, basically?
Yeah, yep.
Right, okay, fine. If you've got any thoughts on any of the above subjects, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. You can Facebook me on Talk Radio Europe and... You can send me a WhatsApp to +34 645 99 67 95. Yeah, we know that J.D. Vance visited the Pope, and no, it's not true that he just gave up after meeting J.D. Vance, but thank you for all those emails coming in already. To the WhatsApps we go. Religion has no relevance in a modern society. Next. So that's one. I think that's Richard. Good morning to you. Does religion have relevance in a modern society? Let's kick off with a light one, shall we, panel? Who wants to go first on that one?
Yes, it does. Because, I mean, the bedrock, our identities, our culture, For example, when we had the COVID pandemic and were isolated in our own homes, there was a certain sort of mental patient potential because people were not in touch with their culture. That's my argument. And they started to do... So religion, although one might not take any necessary sort of notice of the moral codes and everything, it's in there as for us as Christians, right, in this room, a bedrock to our own sensibilities, our own sense of what is right and what is wrong. So yes, I think it does have a place.
Jerry, that hot potato for you, but there you go.
It does have a place, but Western civilization place is quite different from Asian and Far East. The concept of God, a supreme being, came from Judaism, and that's where Christianity, etc., in the West believe in a supreme God. Whereas I've worked a lot in Japan, and Buddhism, for example, there's no God. It's about living in harmony with nature, etc. But it's still a form of religion because it's a way of life and a culture and a way of life with a spiritual meaning. So it's interesting that religion has so many different forms, and there's so many religions around the world who believe they have the only one true God, which is arithmetically impossible. So, but it does create a social society, the Christianity base, but in the Far East, they still have society functioning perfectly well without a supreme being in their day-to-day thinking.
952-784-1000. This coming in. So, bedrock, ? Religion was merely the vehicle to brainwash the uneducated. Fortunately, we have moved on from that, unless you're one of the such people that voted for the Tangerine Scream. That's quite a good thing. But I suppose, you know, if you're looking for, and I don't mean to get all deep and meaningless on a Tuesday morning, but I suppose if you're looking for a moral compass, something to believe in. Otherwise, what is the point? Otherwise, are we just all meat puppets on a bit of rock thundering through space with no... And I'm saying, if you're feeling particularly low this Tuesday, you might want to turn off, with no form or function. I mean, you've got to ask yourself, haven't you? Surely there should be something to believe in.
Yes, I think people have been persuaded by the great failings of the church, shall we say, organized religion, into not so much doubt, but distrust of any overt religiosity. If somebody starts proclaiming sort of great faith around your dinner table, you just kind of think, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. And that, to some extent, is fair, because the church does have great failings, including that august and munificent Catholic faith, which has its Vatican, a tremendously wealthy Vatican, and so on, while at the same time proclaiming great empathy for the less fortunate and so on. It's very easy to find distrust in the churches, but the actual search for a sort of spiritual connection is another matter altogether. What is divine? It would be, a child being born, or me trying to explain a shadow to a two-year-old grandchild. What is that, Grandad?
952-784-1000 is the phone number. To the poll we go. I'm sorry, Joe, are you going to come in on something there? Sorry.
I think religion was really important in, say, medieval times and earlier, when people didn't live for very long and died unexpectedly quickly. And if you look demographically at where the most religious people are in the world today, I mean the religions where you believe in supreme God, etc., and an afterlife, they tend to be poor. And as countries and society, people become wealthier, there's less and less belief in religion. And Norway is the most atheist country in the world today. So when I talk about Western civilization, the Scandinavian countries, because they're wealthy and don't have that, people can now live for a long time. And when they die, it's because there's no point in going on anymore. That's a sweeping generalisation, of course. Right. But the fear of death and early death and the promise of something better afterwards is very uplifting. Or even if it's false, it makes people feel better about themselves and the death of themselves or the family, early ones, etc. Remember, a lot of children used to die in the first year of life when women died in childbirth. Yeah. So it would be comforting to believe they've gone somewhere else, a happier place.
Yes, I think in times of the future, when even the memory of the wonderful journalist and broadcaster Giles Brown has been forgotten, when talking 1,000 years hence, the monotheistic idea, the one God overall, without any sort of great adherence and extremism, would be a wonderful thing to have happened, because we couldn't have religious wars once that has come to be. As it stands, religion is or organized religion or adherence to one God or another is a tremendous human obstacle, regardless of whether one has a faith or not.
Do you think perhaps that, you know, here in the 21st century, we are seeing more, and because of that thing of which we do not talk, i.e. the pandemic 5 years ago, I mean, a lot of people look towards other sources of inspiration, and we have seen more of a drive towards spirituality, a more personal understanding of whatever, you know, a God, Yahweh, whatever you want to call, great architect, whatever you want to call it. Therefore, people are finding more and more. I mean, I don't see going to get crystals and, you know, your dream catcher, but hey, listen, knock yourself out if you so desire. But people are now forming their own more personal relationships with, you know, whatever it is behind the curtain, and therefore that is perhaps seen. They don't want to see such a structure of religion. Or on the flip side of that, do you think more people are looking to the church? I mean, you see J.D. Vance calling himself a baby Catholic. Come on to that in a minute. But they, you know, in a world where, you know, we seem to be going to the proverbial in a handbasket, people like structure and order in their lives. Tim, you're looking about you. Bursting to say something on that one.
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily. But I think people like to belong. And I think it was Andreas who said a few weeks ago that in Spain, a pretty obviously Catholic country, there are something like 11% of Spaniards who are regular attendees of church. And I don't know what the UK number is, but actual attendance is at a low percentage, certainly compared to what Jerry was saying about the great God-fearing days of medieval periods. And and so church attendance is not... it's what happens in schools. If you're given some sort of rudimentary education in the fact of your religious heritage... then one might tend to continue it, or a certain little bit of reading of or scriptural understanding was certainly part of my education. I don't even know whether it still is in England.
What you mean on the national curriculum in terms of state schools?
Yeah.
I think has to be more inclusive. I think rather than just as we were brought up as, you know, good Church of England, you know, boys and girls, because those were the options back then, you see.
And they still are.
Or the state school.
Or
Borstal.
Or Borstal, well, yes, indeed. Yes. But it's beginning, I mean, again, we come off the back of Easter here in Spain, and say what you like about, you know, Spain and whatever, I was with in the company of American TV crew last week, and they were absolutely blown away by the devotion. And, you know, you can argue, you know, and again, from a Protestant sort of point of view, you know, yeah, I know you're laughing at that one, you know, but hey, listen, you know, family.
You know, I support them.
Yes, and yes. I see, you know, and Papa supported Rangers, and let's not even go there. But what I'm saying is, you know, for those of us of that disposition who have a history of that, then this whole, the incense, the processions, the lamentations, they are very powerful. And you will see people in your town, in your pueblo, and wherever, you know, making that devotion to the Virgin, to the Christ, and it should have pause for thought. I mean, the Good Friday procession, I don't care if you have a Marxist T-shirt or whatever. You cannot fail to be struck by the devotion and the sheer theatre, if you like, of the processions.
It's been developed over 2,000 years. It's steeped in history. But one interesting medical fact is if people do belong to church and go regularly, that somebody else mentioned before, like getting together, people who are regular churchgoers live longer than people who are not churchgoers. That's a medical fact.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just to do with some religions don't like you drink or don't like do something all right. You know, nuns live longer than anyone else, etc. But if you're a regular churchgoer, that feeling of unity and bonding somehow promotes a happiness that helps you live longer.
See, the whole thing is isolation. Isolation is
Isolation is the opposite. It's the opposite of isolation, basically, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought if you kept a dog, you lived a little bit. But that's it's interesting.
And, it was the only way to live longer, join a church.
Yeah, no.
A particular breed of dog? I mean, I would imagine a chihuahua is keep an XX bully, I imagine your life expectancy probably goes down by about 20%.
Or your neighbour's does.
I don't want to be doggist about anything. They're all dogs, let's just say that.
All good dogs go to heaven, as we know, so therefore.
They do. And when I was at school, we had chapel every morning and church service on a Sunday, and it was a sort of high Anglican. Very typical of the sort of school I went to. I would dare say that Jerry, being a Catholic man, probably went to a Catholic school.
I think he's probably a Catholic, a man, then, every minute then. I thought we'd all off to that.
Probably had a slightly different sort of indoctrination, if you want to use that word.
Yeah,
education, let's call it.
Well, yeah, we had religious education in Catholic schools, but you didn't. It was only about Catholicism. You didn't do any studies of other religions until about fifth or sixth form, when most of the people who weren't going to university, etc., had already left. So they only ever got Catholicism in their religious education.
9527 84000. To the WhatsApps we go. And good. Right. So this one I don't have. Who sent me this one in? This is from RCC, who says Judaism started off as Yahwehism, which in 575 BC was heavily influenced by Zoroastrian beliefs, such as Zoroastrianism. Most famous advocate of Zoroastrianism was Freddie Mercury. Thank you very much. That'll get me coked. Such as the Great Flood, good versus bad, cherubs. You see, where are the cherubs these days? Judgment Day, a person going up a mountain to receive God's instructions, etc. In turn, Zoroastrianism came from earlier beliefs. It's evolutionary and did not start with Judaism. So that's the holy hand grenade of Antioch thrown into the conversation. Meanwhile, one doesn't need to believe in the giant space wizard in the sky. You've got your glam rock confused there. It's the spirit in the sky and then there's wizard, of course. You can be a good and moral person without the need for religion. Okay.
That's what Buddhism is, basically.
Yeah. The church is akin to the mafia. Again, I'd like to stress the views of the listeners are not endorsed by TRE and are highly hypocritical. The thought of Sopranos. Yes, sorry, I'm talking about the mafia. Here's Jerry.
Just a bit more historical context. Judaism borrowed most of their people, like the devil and God, etc., from Egyptian religions, just changed the names, but it's the same concepts. But what the Jews introduced, or Judaism introduced, was the idea of a male-dominated religion only. Up until then, they're never male-dominated, and the Catholic Church is still at that X thousand years later. Women can't become priests, etc. They cite that Jesus only had male apostles, so you can't have women priests, etc. But I mean, the Daily Mass was running a thing recently about things in the Bible you weren't taught in school, and telling you different things that in the Bible would be criminal offences nowadays, but regarded as normal in the in the Old Testament.
Sorry, Tim. I was processing that. And then,
In many a household, the woman who might be disbarred from becoming a priest is God in the household.
Yes.
But I would like to say that Let us say one hasn't attended church or become aware of any scripture in one's entire life, and you're in a hospital. Let me transport you to this hospital where you're breathing your last. You're 98 years old, and you're breathing your last. The oxygen mask slips off, and through your mind goes this idea that you've been a good person, a kind person, a generous person, and a loving person. And so that's your heaven, because you can die with that knowledge, rather than some alternative to that, which is the opposite of that, which might be dreadful behavior and devilish actions and so on. So that would be hell for you.
Right.
So you could keep it on a human level rather than taking it into religious fields.
Yeah, I mean, you get
Putin and Trump fit into that one.
Oh, well, they both believe that they are God, so that's quite different. Short break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And thanks to the sponsors of the show, St. James Global Clients. I'll tell you a little bit more about them a little later on in the show. I'm joined in the studio by Tim Stafford and Dr. Jerry Hagen. We're talking about religion. We've thrown the gates of belief open here. Of course, a conclave to elect the new Pope will begin from the 5th of May, and it's been announced that the funeral of the pontiff will take place on this Saturday morning. To the WhatsApps we go, and here are the numbers if you want to get involved.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
To the WhatsApps we go. So, the church is akin to the mafia and are highly hypocritical. I would know, having dealt with them from a financial perspective. Looking at 2020, the World Religious Database, and I never miss a copy of that, estimated there were countries with the highest percentage of atheists were North Korea, no surprises there, yeah, and Sweden. A 2023 Gallup International Survey found that Sweden was the country with the highest percentage of citizens that stated they did not believe in God. However, Thor was probably a different matter. If you're a Swedish atheist, we'd love to hear from you. Religion has no place in school, but such people in Spain who enjoy Semana Santa aren't regular attendees. Severe profits from tourism in such times. Cherubs only come out on the 14th of February. And somebody sent me a couple of verses of The Wall by Pink Floyd. We don't need no education, etc. Meanwhile, Good morning. It should be noticed that the Zoroastrian religion, we've got a lot of people listening out there who know their Zoroastrianism, is amongst the earliest known religions to introduce monotheism before Judaism, which was greatly influenced by Zoroaster. Thank you, that's Zoe. Is it Ethiopia? I think it starts in that one. I'm not sure. Let me know on that one. And good morning to Sam, who says, good morning to you. He said, if you want to beat isolation, he's deleted it now, but I saw what it said. It said, if you want to beat isolation, get a motorbike. So there you go.
What?
Buy a motorbike and then you won't feel lonely because you'll be out with the wind in your leather jacket or whatever. So
that might be missing the point.
Okay, well, yeah. Anyway, he deleted it, but I saw it before it went, so there you go. 952-78-4000. On the Facebook group, as I said before, we have a poll running which asks the following question. If you wish to get involved with today's show, ask the following question, which is, do you agree with the Supreme Court ruling last week that a woman is defined by her biology at birth? At the moment, 100% of you say yes. So please get involved with that one. I think that's pretty definitive. We'll see where that goes. Do we think we're going to have a new pope? We're going to have that whole waiting for the white smoke to come out of the chimney. Yep, indeed. And people are defining Francis as the people's pope. He didn't get back to Argentina during his 12 years as pontiff because he was seen by those on the right as a Peronist and on those on the left as obviously being the head of the Catholic Church and therefore part of the establishment. And with the populism at the moment in Argentina, chainsaw-wielding presidents, etc., I mean, it's, you know, the South American cardinals – have a, you know, had a history of, I'm thinking more South stroke Central American, Catholic Church had several run-ins, of course, with right wing dictatorships, in the 80s. I'm thinking, but primarily sort of El Salvador, places like that. I mean, should we see the church being a political entity, Tim?
No, and there are, of course, tremendous numbers of nations who have gone for government and leadership by religious persons. Their entire governments are religious. I mean, I'm talking about Islam, Brisbane, and. And it's hugely destructive. It's an infringement of liberty, largely speaking. And then you've got the other side. Well, if you go into sort of an acute Marxism, then you have an irreligious sensibility that, again, is damaging. You know, we have, in a sense, historically evolved to a sort of religious understanding in most parts of Europe. And... which has been a steadying influence, although with its great perils, for a very long time. I'm not a great advocate of anybody who's acutely religious or extreme being in any political post at all.
9527 8000. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Felix Quigley here.
Morning, Felix.
Good morning. This issue of the Pope dying, well, I'm not going to say very much about it, really. He has been in favour of action against global warming. In other words, he's not a denier of global warming, which is good. But when I think of the situation of organizations like the Catholic Church, I think of the word lethargic, a good word to describe the situation.
Lethargic, that's a good word.
Lethargic, aye. Lethargic. I think of, first of all, I know you've got a climate denier there on your panel. You yourself don't give the kind of dramatic impact that's needed in this situation, but let's continue. I think of the world now. I think of an example or a metaphor. I think of it as a giant stadium of people, and the water is gradually rising, and sometimes rising quickly, as we've seen in Valencia. And they're sitting in the stadium. Some are bailing out the water with spoons. With a spoon. Most are just sitting listlessly and watching it. And that's the world that we're living in today. And I measure Francis from that standpoint. The situation now, from 8 years ago, is intensely worse than it was then in those 8 years. And every little bit of false information that's being put about, I'm talking there to your guest.
The guests are looking a bit mystified, Felix, about which particular... The guests are looking a bit... are looking askance at me about which...
I think I may be confusing the doctor with another guy who comes
right
on.
Okay.
Who talks something like... I forget his name.
Jamie, you're thinking about Jamie.
Yeah. In which case, I apologize. But the listlessness is there all the time. And the lethargy is there all the time. We're facing a savage future. And it's rapidly increasing. And the science is telling us all the time what's in store. At least the good science is telling us all the time about what's in store for us. And it is grim. And we have to measure people like Francis, not with kind words, hypocritical words, I would say, but with reality. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for your call in then. Lethargic. 952-784-4000. Lethargic. Do you think that's...
Who is lethargic?
He thinks it's Catholic Church. He thinks that they are lethargic. I mean, I suppose that's just... It's the nature of the beast, isn't it, really, I suppose? I mean, they are an institution that's been going in there for millennia, so they can... They've made strides to modernise, but there's only...
Going back to the original discussion about religion and politics, if the two mix, it always ends badly. But there's still a role for religious leaders to speak up on behalf of, I don't know, Pope gave G.D. Vance a lecture about his attitude towards immigrants. And more importantly for me is the whole climate change issue. The papacy has a team of over 100 scientists. Now, they're not Catholics. They're picked because of good scientists. The religion is not important to them. And they advise the Pope. And the Pope's main reason for getting involved, or one of the biggest reasons, is climate change is going to affect the poorest nations more than the richest nations. And they are already, and are going to be worse off. So he is putting a voice out for the poor people of the world, not influencing one country's politics like Democrat, Republican, or Labour or Tory, but there is a kind of political role with a small p for religious leaders. The Archbishop of Canterbury speaks out every so often. Politicians in England, as far as I can see, usually ignore him. but he is making philosophical, spiritual points to politicians who are going too far down the line, and I can not name any names.
Yeah, I mean, you will find that most politicians will try to dismiss in the same way that Michael Gove says. We don't. I think people have got bored of experts. I mean, we're not going down the who will rid me of this turbulent priest. But in terms of whenever a religious leader makes a point about immigration, about cost of living, then the politicians go, yeah, but they're just church people, so they don't understand the harm. Is the world in which we live, Tim?
Perhaps they don't. I mean, this is a great mystery to me why the Anglican vicar lives in the biggest house in town, and so on. But no, I think great mysteries. I mean, for example, the 40 days and 40 nights of rain and causing the whole world to be submerged. What happened to all the water? No, that's just me. I don't know whether the science has been given to the Pope whether he's capable of absorbing that kind of... That I don't know. But I do think, as has been said by several, that there is a sort of corrective nature to what might be said in the background by ministers, cardinals, or archbishops. In a corrective sense, and you know, if a government is going too far or has made a fundamental mistake, then you might get the Archbishop of Canterbury raising his voice, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as for overall governance, I don't see how religious bodies have any say.
I believe in any society that has checks and balances. That's the whole point of a democracy. So if you didn't have newspapers and you didn't have religion and you had somebody like Vladimir Putin in charge of your country, then you've ruined that society. It is on a downward path. And I'm worried about Trump doing that just now. I mean, you know about Harvard University now suing him for $2.2 billion. Vance had the cheek to talk to European leaders a few weeks ago about free speech in Europe. But Trump is telling US universities what they can and can't do and how freedom of speech is to be allowed on their campuses. And Harvard, if you don't know, has refused to acknowledge or accept his ruling, so he's cut off all funding to Harvard University. Now, Harvard are one of the richest universities in the US, possibly in the world, so they can afford to now take him to the courts. But why are they doing that? They're defending freedom of speech. And that's what happens when you get somebody who's too powerful and not enough checks and balances in the society.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. To the WhatsApps we go. Coming in through there. Right, I'm going to take a big break, and then we're going to be into the last 10 minutes of the first half of this morning's Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Indeed, into the last 9 minutes or so of the first half of this morning's Viewpoint. If you wish to get involved, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Here's the thing, occasionally on social medias you see, you know, the notes from the London Underground. Somebody put something on those bulletin boards and they seem to be, you're shaking your head. Have you not seen those where people write on the London Underground service information, stuff like that? No, you've not seen that? You've seen that sort of thing, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, thank you. Just say yes, Tim, I know you, indeed. This is the service information, so from the Oracle of the Underground, whoever he, she, or it may be. Pope Francis said the following: let us learn to live with kindness, to love everyone, even when they do not love us. So there you go. That's your moment of kindness. That's an important message to get through, especially on Viewpoint. Looking at some of the other bits and pieces coming in. There is only one time, the only time that we are not allowed to look down upon others is when we are offering to help them get back up. Somebody has written in on that one. Looking for this one in, saying speculation as to who will replace the much loved Pope Francis has started. It's been noted another reason there'll never be a female pope is because the Vatican only has male toilets and men who wear dresses don't want women invading their safe spaces. Very good indeed. Thank you very much. I'm just looking at some other bits and pieces coming in. By naming himself, this is from Melinda, by naming himself the patron saint of the poor, Pope Francis placed poverty at the center of the gospel. With grace and love, with faith and action, His Holiness used a healing hand to lift up the most vulnerable amongst us. So that is some of the things that they're saying there. Zelensky's going to be President Zelensky said he's intending to be present at the funeral. So that should be an interesting something. I don't think the Russians would be sending
it's got a free day that day.
It's got a free day that day. Yes, indeed. Zelensky wrote the following. He said, millions of people around the world are mourning the tragic news of Pope Francis' passing. His life was devoted to God, its people, and the church. He knew how to give hope, ease suffering, to prepare, pray, and foster unity. He prayed for peace in Ukraine and Ukrainians. We grieve together with the Catholics and Christians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even Joe Biden got involved, saying that he would be remembered, this is the Pope, as one of the most consequential leaders of our time, and he is better for having known him. So there you go. I mean, obviously, world leaders are always going to say...
yeah, but Joe Biden was a Catholic.
Yeah.
Or is a Catholic.
Yeah, he's still...
Closer connection than Trump.
Yeah.
It comes from the country of We Freeze.
Yeah.
If he can remember where the church is.
952-78-4000. And somebody says, I believe that Pope Francis was the most badass pope in history. He refused to reduce God to a magician, fought climate collapse, and preached like he time traveled from 2040. Okay. That's an interesting one. I'm just going to work out how that one worked. He never lost his sense of humor. He said that God wasn't a magician. He made climate a moral issue, and he saw crisis as one system, not many. War, poverty, climate collapse, one route. We are not faced with two separate crises, but one complex crisis. So, yeah, interesting. And he also ripped economic injustice to shreds. Markets shape destinies instead of serving needs. Interesting indeed. 952-78-4000. Who will be the next pope? Thank you for that. So at the moment, Pietro Parolin, who I presume is going to be, he was an Italian, is in the front running. Luis Antonio Tagle, Peter Edrol, and Matteo Zuppi, which he sounds like he could have played right back for,
Milan.
For Milan, AC Milan, doesn't he? Yes.
Yeah, so we can expect a lot of, should we have an Italian Pope, we can expect a lot of gesticulation.
Really?
Because they do wave their arms around quite a lot. the Italians.
Well, Francisco, remember.
Thank you, Tim, for that enlightened comment.
Francisco is. Parents were Italian immigrants to Argentina. Yeah. So, like, he was pretty well. He could have played for Italy if he'd been any good at football.
Yeah, well, anyway, yes, right.
I remember an American journalist writing once, I know I like a pope who knows how to pope, and he knew how to pope.
Yes, his pontiff game was strong, which is quite handy in a pope. According to church rules, Pope Francis's burial must take place between 4 and 6 days after his death. Of course, that's happening on Sunday, Saturday. Tim?
Yes, I mean, from my religious education at school, I remember being told that popes are elected, if you like, but it's supposed to be a line of accession from St. Peter, where the conscience of those cardinals gathered around making this decision is the conscience of God coming through a human form. And so there they are in their chamber, in their conclave, making a spiritual decision as well as this sort of record of service that this potential pope has shown. And I suppose humility might be among the great values that popes might have, and upholding the rights and well-being of the less fortunate.
I feel a slight cynicism about that, because that's exactly how it should be. But is that really what happens? Cardinals are still human beings, and they hate that guy. Or you might be on the conservative wing, and you don't want that liberal coming back. Because, I mean, Pope Francisco, all his life, all his time as Pope, had to be careful or had trouble with the old guard and the right wing, who wanted to keep things like what they were in the olden days and not change and move on, etc. And you can only go so far because of their power. And also, when Jazz was reading out the favourites, I wouldn't bother even betting on that one. It's so well card. I mean, Francisco didn't even want to become Pope. He didn't know he was going to be elected, and like it was a job he didn't want, which is the ideal person to lead any kind of political party, religion. Somebody who didn't want to do it is probably my favourite type of character.
952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right, going to the national international news at the top of the hour, and then back with more Viewpoints.
Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
And welcome back to the second half of this morning's Viewpoint, joined in the studio by Tim Stafford and Dr. Jerry Hagan. If you want to get involved with this morning's show, these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the numbers to get in touch with us this morning. One final thought on the Pope's passing. Of course, the death of Pontiff Pope Francis was announced yesterday. This is the conclave. I would caution, Richard comes in, I would caution against betting on these markets, as this is the epitome of an insider's market. No wonder how many times you've watched the film Conclave. Doesn't make you an expert on papal elections. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the candidate most aligned with the late Pope Francis win with 110 out of the 135 eligible cardinal electors being chosen by Pope Francis over the past decade. Thank you very much for that. We have a poll running on our Facebook page, which is, of course, Talk Radio Europe Official, asking the question in the wake of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's ruling last week that a woman is defined by biology at birth. I'm asking the question, do you agree with that? Yes, 66%. No, 33%. We've got a 1% don't know once again. So if you want to get involved and let us know what your thoughts are on that one, 952-78-4000. 4000 is the phone number for that one. Somebody keeps saying hola, hello, hi, etc. Yeah, thanks very much for that. I'm sure that you're probably a bot or something, but there you go. 952-78-4000. Should we move on to that one? Because I know that Tim, you're just dying to get involved with the whole shaking his head, ladies and gentlemen, and whatever I should identify yourself as. Supreme Court ruling last week. This has been an issue that has absolutely been dominating front and centre. Well, I was listening last night to the News Agents podcast, as I do, because I rather like that one, with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel, and Lewis, and Lewis Wilkinson. And they were saying that basically this issue about what can you define a woman, can a woman have a penis, etc., has been weaponized by certain parts of the political spectrum, and especially the media, when in fact it's pretty much of a, it does it really impact our lives per se? Is it just becoming something of a cause celeb, or a large sort of red flag? We can go, look, you see, the country's gone woke, Britain has broken, and not only that, we've got, you know, women pretending to be men or men pretending to be women, and, you know, they're getting gold medals and invading safe spaces. I know it's a tricky issue, so we shall tread carefully on this one, panel, shall we? But Tim, what do you, because the Supreme Court made this ruling saying, and by the way, this is not to be, the Supreme Court said in their ruling on Wednesday, Thursday, that this was not to be treated as a victory by certain groups, and thus it came to pass that you had various groups outside the Supreme Court sort of celebrating and you know, waving their flags in the air and everything else, saying this was a victory for quote-unquote women. Tim, you're taking a deep breath, Tim.
Yes, this is a complex issue, but that ruling gives freedom for organisations or institutions, employers and so on, to enact a specific gender opposing policy, that they're men and women, rather that without risking transgressing the law or breaking the law. So that there's liberty now, for example, in your local, your civic authorities being able to specify that biological males are not permitted in ladies' restrooms, as the Americans prefer to call it. Mm-hmm. And that, as far as I'm concerned, this is my personal view, is a good thing. After all, my granddaughters, who are rising sort of ages, and that when they reach about the age of 8, when you allow your child to go into the toilets unassisted, I don't personally want some big sort of large Adam's apple hairy individual, albeit dressed as a woman, malingering, albeit sitting down in the restrooms. I don't find that acceptable, and I don't find the level playing field, which we all hope for in our sporting endeavours, is met by, I don't think it's met by this biological males not competing against males. They should be restricted to their own sex or gender. That seems natural and obvious to me. My personal view is that the transgenderism, if you want to call it that, is a dysphoria. It's natural to be homo. It's part of nature that there is homosexuality. That I can believe. It's, but whatever ecological evolutionary advantage there has been in the, in that being so, I don't know. But I could actually go on to assess that, but I'm not going to.
Right.
That's not a dysphoria. The dysphoria, in my opinion, is in the realm of transgenderism. That it's all very well to prefer, want to be a female, but it does not make you a woman or a female.
Right, this could come in from Cookie. Morning, Giles. I agree with the Supreme Court ruling. I've told men to get out of women's changing rooms in Zara that they were waiting for their wives' girlfriends. Okay, well, I mean, that's not a trans issue, but I mean, in your experience, I mean, one of the problems with this is it's been picked up in such a way and weaponized in such a way that it sounds the certain sections of the press or the media make it sound like there are gangs of trans people trying to get into changing rooms and stuff like that, which in my day-to-day experience and probably your day-to-day experience and listeners, let me know 9527 84000 in your experience as well, that, you know, we very rarely, if at all, come across this is probably something that affects less than 1% of the population. It's been taken and blown up by certain sections of the political and media spectrum to make it sound as it's a clear and present danger, Jerry.
Yeah, there's more to it than that. Let's start at the beginning. When children are born, you say that's a boy or a girl, but sometimes you can't. You don't really know which it is, and the doctors guess and do surgery, and then subsequently find out you picked the wrong one. It actually was a girl, not a boy, etc., etc. So that's a genuine... It's not just a dysphoria. That's a biological problem. That's a tiny, tiny part of it. Less than 1% that Giles is talking about. But you've got to remember that that happens and it exists. It's a real problem. Then you have... This is a complicated issue, and it's political poison for politicians. And with so much else going on in the world, why is this such a big issue? As you said, it's a tiny issue. Well, I suppose it's important for the people who are affected and the way society treats them, and they should be treated fairly. But what are we going to do? Have all bathrooms single sex and redesign them so there's no overlap? Or do we have separate single sex for the less than 1% of the population? How does the average restaurant or even an airport cope? Maybe an airport could cope, but you'd need to be a huge organisation to be able to cope with that. There are people I know of in my in-law side, a niece. She was a niece. And all her life she felt bad and self-harmed, etc., until she was allowed to trans into a man, and now she's very happy, doesn't self-harm anymore. So it is a big issue for them. But then when you get biological males trying to compete in sports where there's a physical element involved, that's not fair. I mean, maybe darts or snooker or something, but you can't have it with football or rugby or even golf or tennis. I hate the word common sense, but it's just common sense not to allow that to happen.
But there was, I mean, this whole thing, of course, the most infamous, if you like, about this, the boxing, the Algerian boxer, and there was South African runner as well a while back. But these were high chromosome things, weren't they? This was an imbalance.
High testosterone levels.
Thank you, yeah.
Naturally, yeah.
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 And there are... Yeah, sorry, Tim, go on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just about relative levels of hormones. I mean, the only... safe and sensible way to deal with those who might want to compete in women's sports is just take I mean, Jerry will know more about this than I do, but that they just take a swab from the inside of the cheek and and by the process of science, establish whether the XY chromosome is in fact present. It's a very simple procedure. It's not a question of pull your trousers down, old bean.
It's actually much more complicated than that. I've seen the guidelines in the Olympic guidelines. Because of the original point I made about like children being born and you don't know which sex they are, it's easier now because you can do XY testing, XX, etc. But the worst example for me was in Scotland when that guy who was a multiple rapist declared himself a woman and wanted to go to a woman's prison. I mean, that was just like, I caught the SNP on the foot. how did you get yourself that mess? And they got into that mess because they like to think themselves as more Scandinavian than Anglo. And the Scandinavians had already done it, and they just wanted to be with the boys, the Scandinavian group, you know, having the same rules. Political dynamite and suicidal.
Yeah, because the Nicola Sturgeon attached her flag to that one as a defining political
in a country full of Catholics and we freeze and everything like that. How could anything go wrong?
Yes, what could possibly go wrong? As the saying goes, if you've got a thought on this, these are the numbers
to contact TRE. Please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Indeed, those are the numbers. As Tim just said, so the hermaphrodite things. And Jerry took a long, hard look at the wall and said, come on, Jerry.
XX and XY, but then what if it's an XXY? Which one are you choosing then? I mean, you can have XXY too, extra chromosome.
Right, okay.
So then... That's why the Olympic thing is so complicated.
Yeah. It's like you said, as you say, it's not just a question, as Tim so said, you know, pull your trousers down, old bean. I mean, that's, you know, obviously.
If you're XX or XY, that's straightforward. But if you're not XX or XY, something else, then what are you? That's a problem.
It's interesting because, so the next 26 chromes, so you can have an extra chromosome. I didn't know that. I've just learned something. And, yes, that's. I think Giles mentioned that less than 1%. I think it's 0.7% of the human species have an idea that they might choose males to identify as a female, or believe that they've been brought up in it. And I can actually, understand how they might be thinking that way, and that is a dysphoria, if you like. You don't have to use that word, but that what constitutes a woman? That's what the broad spectrum of this court case was raising.
Mm.
That is a definition which we all know, but it can bear definition. We need to clearly remind ourselves what we're talking about.
It's a public health issue as well, because up until recently, or up to this pronouncement, people were self-identifying, a woman self-identifying as a man, or the other way around, especially men identifying as women. So they're not called for screening tests for cervical screening, they're not called for breast screening, etc., because they've identified as a man, and the data shows that's a man because they've self-identified as a man. So they might be called for prostate screening, which would be a bit tricky, considering they've got one.
952 78 4000, to the lines we go. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. I can't see the difficulty in anyone saying what a male and what a female is. It's in nature. Whether it's flora or fauna or humans, there is a version that can impregnate, and there's a version that can be impregnated. However that takes place, you have a male and a female, and if everything is working and functioning properly, then that's what it is, male and female. It's not difficult, and I don't know why anyone can not sit down and explain that. And if you take a 100 dead bodies of whatever genders and gender operations they've had, throw them in a big hole, dig them up 100 years later, anyone who's medically trained will point to which is male and which is female, simply by bone density and hip girth, and it's not hard to do. But The problem we have is the identification of another gender. And the reason I think it's come to the fore is because of sport. And there's too many people pretending to be of a different gender. Don't seem to be too many women transitioning as men and then going into boxing or UFC or weightlifting. So it all tends to be the other way around. But going to this hermaphrodite problem, I've mentioned it before, and your doctor there has touched on it, but if they have a 5-alpha reductase deficiency and they're born with what looks like female genitalia, i.e. what they call a micropenis and an opening at the bottom of that so they can urinate, they are assumed looking like a girl. But as modern medicine has moved on, and the thing with Sotomayor, the runner, and the Olympic boxers, it's not as simple as a simple test, because what happens is when they, because they don't produce enough testosterone to convert to DHT, when it does, when they go through the hormonal period, they can have internal gonads or internal sexual organs, then they grow like a man. So they start putting on muscle and they get better bone density. So you're having men compete with women, regardless of what you labeled them at birth. Now, we have a Paralympics these days, and I don't see why we can't have a category of Paralympics for those, because you cannot have males competing with females, especially in contact sports and very hard, brutal sports, as we've seen in the past. Women get absolutely annihilated by men when it's physical. So they need to change that. And also the problem we have is, if you notice these, the last three, the two boxers, the runner, they're coming from Africa. And we have tribes or we have ethnicities in Africa where this is passed on as a gene. So maybe if we educated those countries and those doctors a little bit more and maybe eradicated that, where we have gene therapy now, maybe we can get rid of this completely. But in the meantime, we have a genuine problem, and we have a load of foolish, for want of a better word, people that seem to think that you can just label at birth what it is. Now, it's obvious there's male and female, but there are dubious things, and it's because of modern medicine we're beginning to realize that now. But in no way, shape or form can you have anyone that's producing large amounts of testosterone, whether that's artificially or not, whether it's a performance enhancing drug, competing against someone who's not. And I even believe that in male sport. I'm not anti-drugs in sport. I think it's quite a good leveler. And performance-enhancing drugs, I mean, it's no different. The food, diet, some people have better access to better machinery. So there's always going to be, you can't have a level playing field, exactly level playing field, but you certainly need to cater for differences. And I can't see why they can't move this group of people into the Paralympics. And that doesn't mean paralyzed or paraplegic or anything. It means parallel, as in the parallel games, and start dealing with it in medicine and stop bending over backwards and giving these people these laws and regulations that allow them to circumnavigate those things. It's a genuine medical issue, and it should be seen as such. So I'll leave you on that one, Giles.
Thank you very much for your call in there, Peter.
One practical point, how many people would be available or able to participate in those games, and how many people would want to watch it? there's a practical problem there.
Well, I mean, whether people want to watch it or not, there's going to be a statement in the House today later about gender recognition. I'm just looking at, because what the Supreme Court said was the statements, judges legally determine woman means a biological woman. But this was behind the different responses lie many of the often bitter and vitriolic arguments that's set the UK on a long, tricky road towards the judgment last week. When the highest court in the land ruled that sex is binary, meaning legally it should be interpreted as referring to either a biological man or biological woman, it was providing clarity that had been missing for conversations for years. Words like woman and sex have become loaded with different meanings depending on your viewpoint. Language that for centuries has been uncomplicated and accepted became a battleground. The judgment is supposed to draw a line under that. It argues that for the Equality Act to be consistent, the term woman has to mean a biological woman. It doesn't have to mean that does not include biological males, even if they have certificates to say they've changed gender. It means that where there are, for instance, women-only spaces, then a biological man who identifies as a woman cannot use them. That includes changing rooms, toilets, women's refuges, single single-sex hospital wards and anywhere designed as for one sex only. How much change that will mean in practice is going to be set out in the in detailed guidance. Until then, there remains a lot of questions and some confusion that is challenging in an area where views are so polarized. I'm looking at some of the the comments that have been coming in. I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, the whole point with you know, changing rooms and or toilets. I mean, I have been to bars and restaurants and the nightclubs in the general Marbella area, and I've been to at least two or three of them, and these are quite modern ones, where there are just toilets, there are cubicles, and then there are wash facilities, and what you get up to those cubicles, or who you invite to those cubicles, or whatever, because a lot of them seem to be using them for reasons not all to do with, you know. People seem to have awfully bad cases of sniffles sometimes. But, yes, indeed. So anyway, but what I'm saying is, you know, thank you very much. So what I'm saying is that it's not a big issue. It can be a bit of a shock if you walk in and suddenly realize that it's a unisex toilet. But I mean, in our very own homes and houses, unless obviously, Tim, you're living in the 14th century and shouting, Adele.
That's why I mentioned children and young teen girls going into these. But it's not so much the adult stuff and the places that Giles frequents.
I frequent toilets, sir.
Yeah,
are you saying that I'm sir? Yes.
In some countries, it's normal to have unisex toilets.
Yes, indeed.
And they cope.
They do. I mean, it's not a huge issue, as we know, because of the low percentage, but it's kind of the principle has been, the guidelines have been laid down by this Supreme Court ruling, and quite right too. I mean, it is commonsensical. We don't like that because I would just like to add that, all of these, sort of extreme, doctrines, if you like, emanating from the USA, Black Lives Matter, you know, all of these very much polarizing movements, including this trans movement, have emanated from the, at the time, very sick USA, with its rather sort of peculiar, shall we say, imbalanced population. Now sort of having a good look at themselves. But really, I mean, we don't want to only bend the knee, for example, to God. I'm not going to bend the knee for any other reason. And the common sense of not allowing women or men who identify as women in women's sports is just there, and it should be reaffirmed and has been.
I blame the USA for a lot of things, but I didn't know... What's the basis of saying it emanated from you? I thought it was a European thing.
No, the BLM and all of the the woke movement, all very much US devolved.
How are you drawing a narrative between trans and BLM and you bending the knee?
Well, I'm trying. What I'm suggesting.
An interesting brain you've got.
what I'm suggesting is.
Yeah, so go on.
Is that the values which are sort of natural human understanding. For example, I'm not anti-trans at all. I believe that they should be allowed to wear dresses or dress up how they like, the same as everybody else. I just don't like being pressured, or these pressure groups that apply, in any direction whatsoever. I mean, it's in contrary. And it's very much that one couldn't mention, as this has already been told in the WhatsApp, one couldn't mention these things amongst one's family or friends for fear of being thought racist or xenophobic or anti-trans or anything, all of these things. Well, we should have free speech. We should be able to say, well, no, I don't agree with that. And I don't agree with trans men in women's sports. I don't agree with that they should be in ladies' locker rooms. I don't believe that there should be indoctrination in our schools that should all learn how to twerk or things of that kind.
Are you any upset you missed out on that particular class?
I don't want to be
Tim the twerker. I can see it now. There's a hashtag. Jerry, are you going to come? Yeah,
I used to really follow that.
I'll let you know how things are going on the poll. Okay, so we're asking on the poll as the greater broadcaster music sort of recovers from Tim. Do you think? That should be all. No, on the Talk Radio official post, do you agree with the Supreme Court's ruling that a woman is defined by biology at birth? Yes, 93%. So there you go. No, 6%. No, don't know. Is it 1%? That may be the floating chart or whatever. So those are what we have coming in. Meanwhile, I'm looking at some of the other pieces coming in. We have. Right then, by assumption then, women who were born without wombs and therefore cannot get impregnated are not women. Okay, thank you for that. Meanwhile, Sam, well spoken from the caller. That'll be Peter. So that's, yeah.
You can be born without a womb and still be a woman.
Yeah, well, this is, airplanes have always had unisex toilets. Thank you very much for that one. Yes, well spotted.
We can all see who's going in and out, though.
Meanwhile, right, what we got? So, like enough, good morning, this is Gary. Good morning to you, Pompey. Like a lot of issues, the minority are dictating to the majority. Even when it goes against common sense. There you go, Tim. Get ready for the balance to be corrected. Oh, hang on. Has Trump been mentioned yet? It has now. Did we fall into the subject of cottaging? No. Yes. Blame the left in the US. Your guess is bang on. So there you go, Tim. You're bang. I'm being attacked by a fly, which has probably been sent by some evil whatever. I think it might be a drone. Anyway. So there you go, Tim. You seem to have the will of the people is behind you, Tim.
Yes, and 97% are in broad or in agreement with this the ruling and the consequence of it, and thank goodness for that, because the insanity of pretending is slowly being eroded. So I'm happy about it.
You're happy about that, right? Take a short break, and then we're going to be back with more Viewpoint featuring the thoughts of Tim Stafford on a Tuesday, worth the price of entrance alone.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Thanks to St. James Global, sponsors of Viewpoint. For more information about Globe, protecting your assets and growing your wealth, please go to info@stjamesglobal.com and find more information about that if you want to get involved with today's show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Joined in the studio by Dr. Jerry Hagan and Tim Stafford, who's been getting a lot of support since we last spoke. Yes, would you not bend your knee to tie your shoelace? Is the next, as somebody said on that one theory.
Well, not these days.
Are you allowed shoelaces? Do you have that Velcro strip?
He can't anymore.
He can't bend that.
It's these Chelsea boots or flip flops for me.
Chelsea boots or flip flops. Excellent choice. Well, I know, yes, indeed. And why would you bend your knee to a space wizard? Now, we've been to the space wizard thing before, so there we go. Every person should be able, good morning, every person should be able to make an individual choice regarding their sexuality. I have to say that I draw the line when it comes to physical sport. There has to be separation. The evidence is so transparent. A male, as a woman in competitive sport, can go from 500 on the male level to 1 on the female level. It's that simple as to what is happening. Just because a woman cannot have a child does not stop her from being a female. Our skeletal frame is different. Our skulls are different. Our bodies produce estrogen. Go on, Jerry. Say it.
Progesterone.
Thank you. And testosterone. We are more than just a costume and makeup. Very good indeed. There are trans men that believe they are suffering from
endometriosis.
Thank you. And period pains. That surely is a psychological...
Dysmenorrhea.
Thank you. Listen, I just, you know, I just... There are words. That's why I don't speak German.
Men produce all those hormones too, just in different amounts.
Right, yeah. I think I say something, Tim, then, but
I'm going to link together.
You're going to link again, are you?
Yeah, I'm going to link together the Pope and
chimps drinking G&Ts on the Paseo.
Because transubstantiation asks one to believe that the wafer is the body of Christ and the wine is the blood of Christ and so on. So one is expected to believe that that is the case, although everybody who has enjoyed communion knows perfectly well that it's symbolic of those entities. A transubstantiation. To ask other people to believe, because you have a frock on, and you might have undergone some hormone replacement therapy, that you are a woman who, after all, is part of a great sisterhood, a great sort of born with the eggs that she's going to use in her lifetime, has an entirely different sensibility to the male. To ask us to believe that is going too far. You are not a woman, even if you claim to be. If you are in possession of the XY chromosome, or as Jerry has educated me, into the grey area of the extra chromosome, there's no point in us pretending that that is an actuality, because it isn't.
952.
In my opinion.
Thank you very much. Errol is saying absolutely yes. Agreeing with the Supreme Court ruling that a woman is defined by biology at birth. 94% of you on the poll are saying yes, 5% no, 1% don't know at the moment. As I said before, go on to Talk Radio Europe's official web page for that one, official Facebook page, and you will see the poll. You can vote on Good Morning to Christian and Good Morning to Lizzie as well. People are saying good morning to us on that one. If you've got any thoughts about that. The Transactual, which is a trans rights campaign group, described the Supreme Court judgment as devastating. Jane Fay told the BBC the judgment felt like a physical body blow, and it was as if trans people were being excluded from society. Today we're feeling very alone, she said. This was on Wednesday. What does it mean? If I can use this, Lou, can I do that? Can I do the other? In contrast, the women's groups who fought the case feel vindicated and jubilant. Helen Joyce, the director of advocacy at the campaign group Sex Matters, says the ruling was incredibly important for the half of humanity who needs single-sex spaces. Women's groups argue that the ruling is important for the reasons of privacy, safety, dignity, and discrimination. The Supreme Court case was brought by a group called For Women Scotland. It wanted to overturn Scottish legislation, which says 50% of members on public boards should be women, and trans women were included in that definition. So it's very little to do with bathroom spaces. The group lost its case in Scotland's highest court, but appealed to the UK Supreme Court. What we wanted to do was clarify clarity in the law. When something is described as a single-sex service, a single-sex space, then this relates to biology. This is what she said. But over time, it's become increasingly angry, bitter, and divided because the stakes were high for all involved. Transgender people said they often face victimization and harassment. This came to a head in 2002 when two judgments at the European Court of Human Rights found the UK was breaching human rights by failing to legally recognise transgender people in their required gender. Surely the thing we should be doing, panel, at this point is supporting anybody who is going through this. This is not a decision that people take lightly. I mean, to undergo gender realignment surgery is a huge... I mean, I think we all agree that we shouldn't be giving 8-year-olds puberty blockers and that sort of thing. Because of that age, because, you know...
That's not medically allowed.
Right. Yeah, because, this is the thing, Jerry. You know, we had transgender mice. Sorry, Gary, that's a Trump reference. We had transgender mice being spirited up out of nowhere, and then you've got this thing about we're being, you know, drag queens are reading to our children at bedtime. And for those of you who grew up with Danny LaRue and Dick Emery, that's Stanley Baker. Yeah. That's Baxter, not Baker.
That's a paradox for me. Why are they so popular? I mean, I remember as a student coming to London and going to the pubs when I was working there, and like surprised at how many drag acts are on. We didn't have any more.
Madame Jojo's in London was
RuPaul's Drag Race, etc. Very popular. So why do people feel uncomfortable? The only thing I have is a cynical comment. It's like, if you're going to dress as a woman, at least make an effort. Sometimes they look as if they just come out of an Optifam shop and dressed up. I thought I'd get you going, get Charles.
Like Tim looked like...
We had a neighbour like that here in San Pedro. He was obviously a man, but he dressed like a woman smoked like a chimney.
And actually, dressed like a woman, smelling like a chimney. Sounds like my dating profile.
Women's dresses, but he didn't actually make any effort to look anything other than a man in a dress.
I think it's important that if the only way in which you can become partly reasonably contented is to, let's say, dress as a woman, then do it. And he shouldn't be in any way maligned for having done so or treated in any way differently. That's a perfectly acceptable behaviour in the sense of it's personal behaviour. Nobody should persecute anybody who's got that kind of idea. That's not the point. The point is, and in fact it could turn out that this ruling liberates it becomes less of an issue. Yes, I am a trans woman or trans man, and I wish to behave as such. Absolutely, but the law is there to protect everybody, and you're not going to get yourself into trouble if you're a trans woman in a ladies' public convenience. Mm. You're not going to get yourself into trouble by being pilloried for competing in women's sports.
Right.
You're going to be known for exactly what you are and at liberty to behave as you wish.
And also I find it very funny because, not funny, I, you know, as you know, cynical to the extreme, but, you know, my little dark and twisted soul, because remember Enemies of the People, the headline, when the Supreme Court ruled against Daily Mail.
Vaguely,
right, because it was the Brexit ruling, and this is the legal challenge they made against Brexit, and Daily Mail put Enemies of the People and put the three Supreme Court judges on the front page. And, however, those same Supreme Court judges are now being lauded by the Daily Mail for this common sense ruling. So therefore, but Lord Sumpton said that the ruling means that they can exclude women from same sex. And we go on about toilets an awful lot, but changing rooms. But they're not legally advised. They're not legally obligated to do so. Right, phones are going mad. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. How are you? All right.
Good morning, Gary. How are you, my friend? We got through, and we didn't mention the T word until you brought it up. So therefore, how are you, my friend?
Well, I would know. You know me better than Jim and Jerry and Tim.
It's the Tim and Jerry show.
Yeah. Always a good show, and then two's on. Brilliant. I'd like to see your face now, though, gentlemen. I'd like to see Giles' face now. There's a very, very good chance I should be doing a drag act with my son sometime this year.
Yes, okay. I've had the pleasure of meeting your son, and so therefore that's going to be worth the price of entrance alone.
I was going to say, I'm Mrs. Monge, and he's my sidekick, Blam. What it is that my cousin's son is one of the biggest drag artists in southern Britain, and he's done Las Vegas, etc. And it's a sort of a dare, but possibly a charity thing. And I didn't know if I could start selling tickets now. I'm being totally serious, by the way. But right. Then again, see... Right. I wish I hadn't phoned that now, to be quite honest.
Yeah, well, you know.
sorry, I can't get it out.
All right.
I'm building up to a serious point here.
Right, come on, Gary.
I mentioned Dick Emery and Danny LaRue.
Yeah.
Surely that's different from what we're talking about, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but we were just arguing the point that there's people saying, "Oh my goodness, there are, you know, we're bending over backwards." Their words, not mine, to facilitate these people. You've got drag queens now reading to children, etc., in schools, quote unquote. And I was just saying, making the point that, you know, listen, we are, you know, we're the same age roughly, so therefore we grew up with all that situation, didn't we? Danny LaRue and Stanley Baxter and Dick Emery, and it was always seen as a bit of a laugh and not I don't think we should be concerned that we are sort of subverting our children, quote unquote.
Well, this is it. This is a subject me and a friend of mine from Southampton, we talk about, and it's a very contentious point. He's very left-wing, very liberal, and I always bang on to him to phone in, but he never does. But I mentioned to him there was an incident 3 years ago in which you had mothers, a mums and toddlers group, and the kids were barely crawling on the floor, and you had blokes in their 50s with leather bondage. I'm telling the truth, leather bondage gear on, right, doing trapeze, etc. That is just totally, that is just perverted, surely, isn't it? And the question I was put to me was, what's the difference between that and pantomime? But the problem of everything else in life now is the lines are blurred, even if they're there. And what one person finds decent, other people find unacceptable, and it's just, well, whatever.
Okay.
I've lost the point now.
All right.
Well, I think I was halfway through this call when I wished I'd regretted it. But
okay, it's always good to hear from you, Gary. You know that.
Right, so I'm just about to put my mascara on now. See you later. Bye-bye.
The caller there, Gary. Go take a quick break and then back for what will be the last 5 minutes of Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Indeed, and good morning to our listeners all around the globe, listening in Sydney, listening in Singapore, listening in Widnes too, I believe. 952-78-4000, these are the numbers if you wish to get involved and get your points. We're into the last 4 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
One listener says, why don't the trans people just use the disabled toilets? As a measure, that's
another label on them. Then,
well, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's tongue in cheek, but it gets Viewpoint. Just like the gentleman with this silk accent, that'll be you then, Timothy. The silken accent, said, nobody is against transgenderism, lesbians, gays, you name it, but by putting them up against the opposite sexes in sports is creating division and turning people against all those different sexual preferences.
Yes, and we should organise a game at Twickenham where the giants, the hugely strong and impressive, let's say England team for the sake of argument, come
hugely impressive with the England team. And
South Africans, if you like. But anyway, they come out and play against an international women's rugby team. I'm telling you, the male version would throw the female version into the crowd. There's such a difference in power and strength.
Right.
And that applies really across the whole spectrum of sport. And you can't, there's nothing wrong with that. Women should be competing against women who've had the same hormonal balance from the start and had the same bone density and everything else, muscularity. And we can enjoy both aspects of sport, male and female, without any interference. And that is my view.
And I suppose, but one of the things that I mean, as I say, it gives the international sporting or whatever bodies the power to set their own agenda. They don't have to set the agenda. I think that Lord Coe said there's going to be a thing about athletics, but in terms of rugby or boxing or whatever, it gives them the option to set that. It's not saying that you must do this or you must not do this, but it's giving a, if you like, a base from which to build a more sensible or a more thoughtful perspective. So that's perhaps the ruling behind that.
Well, the idea of sport, having men's sports and men's competitions and women's competitions, is a competition by type to see who's the best of that type.
Yeah.
But if you have a third type coming in, well, that's I think that's kind of the argument we heard earlier. If you have a third type coming in who should have been in that one but wants to be in this one,
yeah.
That's a different type. And you have to be able to legislate for it. But the suggestion was we have another sporting, a third category for these people. But I don't think there's enough of them to make it worthwhile having a competition, and it would be at such a low standard, nobody would want to watch it.
Well, indeed, there, yeah. Well, believe it or not, we're almost out of time. Just looking at a few bits and pieces, some final bits and pieces. No one is against transgenderism, really? Okay, thank you for that. And a few more comments. I think we should go to our final looking at the poll that you've been running on the Facebook group, and thank you so much for everybody who's been getting involved with the poll on this morning's Facebook group. The final decision was then, do you agree with the Supreme Court in the UK ruling that a woman is defined by biologically at birth? Yes, 92%. No, 7%, and the 1% of don't knows makes that the final poll. So a resounding yes, a woman is defined by biology alone on that. Almost out of time. It's been my pleasure and my privilege. My thanks to my guests, Tim Stafford.
Thank you, Giles. A pleasure as always.
Indeed. And Dr. Jerry Hagan.
Thank you, Giles. And I've had a long life. I don't care what MD does anymore, as long as they don't harm anyone else.
Well, there you go. Right, this show's going to be repeated at 7 o'clock this evening. Stephen Ritson is up next. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. I'll see you tomorrow with Viewpoints.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.